Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 23, the first 12 verses. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all students. And you call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O God, for the gift of your Spirit, as we come around your word, we pray. We pray that you would move in this place, that you would shape us and form us, that the words that are spoken here may be an offering to you, that by your grace today we may become something more closely resembling your disciples. O God, help us to hear from our teacher, from our instructor, for you are our Father. Amen. I read a report somewhere a while back where some folks played word association with random people on the street. You know what a word association is? What's the first word that comes to mind when I say, everybody knows what I mean? What's the first word that comes to mind when I say the word Christian? These folks were asked. And by far the most common answer was hypocrite. I looked for this article this week and I couldn't find it, so you have to take my word for it. But I doubt that I would have to convince you very hard that the prevailing image of Christians in our culture is not conducive to churches like ours getting the benefit of the doubt. We need some better PR. We need some PR, period. We're in the business, churches like ours, we're in the business of letting folks know that we are not those kinds of Christians. Not the kind who will talk about the love of Christ, not the kind who will talk about the grace of God and then dispense exclusion, then dispense guilt and shame to anyone who does not meet a narrowly defined set of criteria. We are not Pharisees in the sense of loading the burden of guilt and shame onto those who come seeking God's face. We want them to know that the dominant image of Christians that they have seen portrayed so widely in every form of media is not the exclusive truth of who all Christians are everywhere. There is life out here. There is open, welcoming, life-giving places. There are places like Covenant where those who are fed up with what they see on the TV or in the media, those anti-science, anti-gay, anti-intellectual, those who have guilt-driven, fear-inducing talk every week about sin and hell coming from the mouths of pastors who drive expensive cars or live in mansions, those who are worshipped by those whose real lives bear little resemblance to the life of a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth. We want people to know that there's a place where you can come to experience real community, to be engaged in real, humble, and authentic discipleship, where the grace of God is front and center. As a part of who we are is saying we are not that. We know there are hypocrites out there, and we don't like them any more than you do, so come. The problem is this. We will never convince folks that Christians aren't hypocrites because we are. All of us. Jesus took the Pharisees to task because they had trouble merging what they teach with who they are. Jesus seems to have very little tolerance for this, for wearing a mask, for dressing up, as Randy put it, for outwardly projecting one image while being something else entirely underneath. No Christian is more aware of their own hypocrisy than those in Christian ministry and leadership. If they have a shred of self-awareness, no one is more aware of their own hypocrisy than pastors. Sometime or another, I will stand in this pulpit and I will tell you, probably sometime soon I'll tell you this, since Christmas is coming, that the material pursuits around which we build our lives, the objects that we rely on to bring us joy and entertainment, all the things that will be on your Christmas list, these are the making of idols that will leave our souls depleted, that by desiring these things, pursuing these things, making them the object of our wanting, we are compromising our discipleship to Jesus, who ministers to the poor, to who was himself poor, by celebrating his birth with a spending spree. I'll tell you all that in a month or two. I will preach this and I will believe it, but nobody loves their iPhone more than I do. So lots of folks have use these passages to talk bad about the Pharisees. It's the Pharisees' problem. But it's not about the Pharisees. This is about humanity. It's about our human condition. It's about the frailty of our commitment. It's about our tendency to say yes to the way of Jesus and then put it down when it gets too costly. It's about the basic human tendency to put someone else down so that we can build ourselves up. We're all of us pretty open and pretty welcoming, but there is some prejudice underneath. This prejudice against those of us, those who don't vote like us, those who don't like the music I like, those who don't like to worship the way that I do, those who've got tattoos, those who have long hair, those who look a certain way or another. We all underneath have that somewhere or another. Hypocrites. The church is full of them. And Jesus is all over the Pharisees because they say one thing and then they do something else. And because even when they do the right things, they do it for the wrong reasons. They do stuff so people can see it, and they are the servants of the praise that people heap on them without even knowing it. Now, not us, we think. All of us believing that we do the right things because they're the right things. We don't need a lot of attention. We don't need a lot of fanfare. But let's be real just for 1 minute. Is there anybody here that's never been at least a little upset when you do something generous and nobody notices? Right. We are hungry for the praise and affirmation that others give to us. All of us, in some way or another. I was taught in seminary and by some of my mentors to be a bold and prophetic proclaimer of the truth, to let the gospel loose in all its convicting power, to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it is exactly what the people who pay my salary want to hear or not. But it sure is nice to stand at the back of the sanctuary every week and hear you tell me how much you enjoyed my sermon. This is not a Pharisee problem. This is us and our humanity parading ourselves around to get attention. Pride. It is now as it always has been. This is our humanity. And so to go deeper with it, our hypocrisy is born out of our need for affirmation. So what we know deep down is that deep down we all know this with our head when we think about it. We know that we don't need the acceptance or the affirmation of other people around us for our lives to be worthwhile. I don't need you to tell me that I was made in the image of God for it to be true. I don't need you to tell me to know that we are worthy and children of the Most High God. We have the truth of the gospel. We have a God who tells us flat out in Scripture that we were made in God's image with God's thumbprint on us, and that God's image is on us even when we cannot see it for ourselves. So we do not need to pretend to be what we are not, because God loves us as we are. More than that, we don't need others to approve or praise our faith and devotion to God, because you know what? People are fickle anyway. They will love you 1 minute and then they will cheer your defeat in the next. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus. But the truth is that this is often not enough for us. God's affirmation can feel distant. It's hard to feel the affirmation of God, the yes of God, you are my beloved child, because we don't always love ourselves. And we can't imagine sometimes that anyone else could love us the way we are. And if you can't imagine that anyone else could love you the way you are, then how can you imagine that God would love you the way you are? And so we find that the only way that we can feel better is to have, even for a moment, the attention of someone else, to have their admiration, to have their applause, to have their recognition. And maybe sometimes this affirmation of God, this encouragement, this well done that we need from God, it does come through other people. I named my grandmothers when we had that time of silent space. And when I needed an affirmation, and when I needed to hear you are God's beloved child, those are the women who told me. But living for this praise is like living on Halloween candy. It tastes good. And even biologically, there's something in there that fires off the pleasure centers in your brain and the electrical impulses in there. It makes it feel good, and it's great for a moment, but before long, you'll just want more. Because there's not the stuff in there that really satisfies you. The stuff that's in there is not what your body really needs. And so we know this. You can do all the things right and make sure that everybody sees it and make sure everybody gets your proper recognition, and you can drink in their praise, but eventually it will not be enough. Empty calories. So to maintain a deep sense of how God sees you, to maintain a deep sense of how God sees you, is what will really feed you, give you strength for your journey. It's hard sometimes to hold on to that, but there's no substitute for it. There's no way. There's no substitute for it other than to know who you are in God's sight. One writer says it like this: lacking confidence in the divine yes, we hypocrites make masks or broadcast our piety in order to win a human yes. Yes, that's precisely it. And therein lies the breaking of the church's image in the public eye. This is why we have a PR problem. Because we are so certain that we are not worthy of God's love for us. God's love, which is so determined and so persistent that sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. We construct for ourselves other ways to feel worthy. Usually that means constructing reasons why some people are less than what we are. We all know this is born of insecurity, right? Because their skin has pigment and ours doesn't, I'm somehow better. Because they're attracted to people of the same sex and I'm not, that makes me somehow better. Because they're women and I'm not, that makes me somehow better. Because they don't have a degree, that makes me somehow better. Because they're addicted to substances and my addictions are easier to hide, that makes me somehow better. Because my house is clean and orderly and theirs isn't, that makes me somehow better. Because they made a mess of their family and the mess that is my family is easier to hide, that makes me somehow better. Because they've made bigger mistakes than I have made, that makes me somehow feel better about who I am. This is what they mean, those people on the street. They mean that when they look at the church, they see people who are so unsure of God's love for them that they must cast doubt on God's love for other people. When they look at the church, they see people who are so unsure of God's love for them that they must cast doubt on God's love for other people. They see people who are so afraid that the world will realize that we are just like them. That we wear masks to create illusions about how our faith has made us somehow better, that our faith has somehow helped us to get our lives together and that we have got it all together. That our faith has somehow made us better than those who lack our faith. They see broken people who have somehow come to suffer under the delusion that doing good stuff that people will praise you for is how you become a disciple of Jesus. They see hypocrites. But here's the thing. That's exactly what they should see. I have no argument with that word association. I wouldn't want to change it for anything. Of course the church is full of hypocrites. But whoever said that was a bad thing? Of course we're hypocrites. Where else would we go with our hypocrisy? This is precisely the place the church was meant to be. A place for those who are sure they've got it figured out to come and get confronted with the truth and realize they don't have it all figured out. The church is the place where people who are not sure that they have a life that is worthy of God's love to come and hear the truth that God does love them deeply and profoundly. A place for those who have been trying to live on the empty calories of other people's praise to come and see what real food for the soul tastes like. Somehow we have projected the image that the church is the place for the righteous. That to be a saint of the church means that there is very little distance from the teachings of Jesus in our actual lives. When we heard those names that you named, that we heard just then, of those people that, think back to those people that you named, were any of them perfect? No. Any of them have perfect lives exactly as you would want them to be? We projected this image that the church is the place for the righteous, such that when people look at us and realize that we're not as well off as we might be, they're surprised and disappointed to find that this is not the case. But that's not what church is. The church is the place where we come to take our mask off, to lay down our pride and our prejudice and be shaped by something else, to be welcomed by the grace of Jesus, who knows we are as human as the Pharisees and loves us anyway, calls us anyway. The church is a hospital for hypocrites. Amen. That's why we're here. The same writer I quoted earlier said it like this: into the midst of our mask makers' exhaustion. Anybody ever get tired pretending like you got it all together? Into the midst of our mask makers' exhaustion comes one who just really loves our face. Come to me, he says, and I will give you rest. And it is enough to put our whole mask making industry out of business. And then he asks, can you feel your soul relax into the freedom of that embrace? Yes. Can you?